And
if you're from St. Paul, this is the part where I usually joke that they're just clapping for me. Anyway, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
What profit is it in there? What profit is there in our death, O God, if we go down to the pit? Be gracious to us and be our helper in times of trouble.
You have turned our mourning into dancing and clothed us with joy.
Let our souls praise you and not be silent.
O Lord, we will give you thanks forever.
It is most certainly good for us to be here today, and as I look out on all of these beautiful faces, I've got people that usually sit over there, because somebody took their seat and there's going to be a fight after the service. Oh man, this is wonderful. I love it. Please stand in body or in spirit for the confession and forgiveness, and you can confess swearing at the person who took your seat. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved your neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty and merciful God, we implore you to hear the prayers of your people. Be our strong defense against all harm and danger, that we may live and grow in faith and hope through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
The first reading this morning is from Lamentations, the third chapter. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for one to bear the yoke in youth, to sit alone in silence when the Lord has imposed it, to put one's mouth to the dust, there may yet be hope, to give one's cheek to the smiter and be filled with insults. For the Lord will not reject forever. Although he causes grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve anyone. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from the 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. Now as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter, I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you who begin last year not only to do something, but even to desire to do something. Now finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need. so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the fifth chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So Jesus went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. She was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. But Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Now, while he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, Jesus said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." They laughed at him. Then he put them all outside, and he took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know about this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise
you,
Christ.
You may be seated. And I have to say thank you to Jeff and Randy for dealing with my last-minute request today of adding some multimedia to my sermon. But I just didn't wait to the last minute for you all. I was putting it on the flash drive while I was brushing my teeth this morning. So, you know. All right. I love road trips. Anyone here a road trip person? Anyone here like road trips? Yeah, got some road trip people. I mean, I love arriving at the place that we're trying to get to, sure. But the road trip, I think sometimes the road trip can be even better than the destination. When I road trip with my family here, we usually have things planned out. Sometimes we know where we're going to stop along the way. That's kind of the point of the road trip. For instance, about 6 years ago, that's right, 6 years ago, we took a 16-plus hour road trip to the Badlands and Mount Rushmore. That's right. If you look at my 7-year-old son here, 6 years ago, he was not even 2 years old. And why, oh, why did we do that? Because we're stupid. We are obviously stupid. I mean, we did some planning, right? We had some stops planned along the way, some allegedly fun stops, like Wall Drug. I absolutely hated Wall Drug.
It was
the worst. Right, Andrea? Just the worst. You head out there, you ride your bike out there, right? Not like he pedals it. He's got, you know, like a kind of bike. You ever stop at Wall Drug, Dennis?
Every time.
Ugh, hate that place. And I'm going to rip on Wall Drug most of this sermon. Anyway, Randy. Oh, wait. Not quite yet. On this same trip, however, before we even got to South Dakota, we happened on the little town of Blue Earth. You might want to add this to your stops. You might have to take a little different direction. It was getting to be about dinner time, and I'm sure that one or all three of the kids were crying. Randy, can you show us the picture? It looked about like this, I think. Maybe. Oh, wrong one. That one. It looked roughly like that. Yeah. So we pull off at Blue Earth because the highway sign said that there's a subway, and as we're following the Google Maps of the subway, right there in front of us on the right side of the road is, as you saw, a giant. Literally. There is a giant Jolly Green Giant, so what did we do? We went to the subway first because I'm not kidding when I said the kids were whining and crying. And then we went to visit the Jolly Green Giant, right? Did this surprise encounter with a 55 and a half foot tall, 8,000 pound Jolly Green Giant in Blue Earth, Minnesota interrupt our travel schedule? Absolutely, it did. We arrived even later than we had wanted to at the hotel, and I'm sure at some point there was more crying about it. But isn't this what road trips are all about? Embracing and living into these kind of beautiful, unexpected interruptions. I've talked about Henry Nouwen before. Nouwen, he passed away in the mid-1990s. He was a Catholic priest. He was a professor and a scholar and a prolific author. And he made this observation when he was reflecting on his very busy life and work. He says, "You know, my whole life I've been complaining that my work was constantly being interrupted until I discovered that my interruptions were my work." Jesus' life was one of frequent interruptions. It comes up all the time across the gospel. Last week, as Jesus was trying to catch some Z's in the middle of a hurricane, the disciples interrupted him. And as we discussed at length, Jesus yelled at them after he stilled the storm, of course. And as we and they continued on to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and then they came back after Jesus sent some demons into some pigs. They weren't very happy, so Jesus had to go back to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And now, once again, he is surrounded by people today. Imagine that. And a synagogue leader, Jairus, not just a nobody, but a leader of the synagogue, breaks into the crowd, interrupts whatever it is that Jesus is doing, and throws himself at Jesus' feet today. He says, "Come and lay your hands on my daughter. She is near death. Please, Jesus, make her well." And Jesus allows this eruption. He embraces it. He goes with Jairus, no questions asked. But as I said, and as we know, Jesus' ministry is full. It is full of interruptions. And in this case, this interruption was even itself interrupted. As Jesus was hurried along by the synagogue leader, the crowd pressed in on him because, of course, they wanted to see Jesus cure this little girl. And in the commotion that surrounded and followed Jesus and Jairus, a woman had been suffering, who had been suffering for 12 excruciating years, whose uncleanliness had cut her off from the community that she loved for 12 excruciating years, whose money and property over those 12 years had been squandered on cures that just hadn't cured. She boldly interrupts Jesus. A man on a mission with no time to spare, no time to be interrupted. If only I touch his cloak, I will be made well. And she does. And she is. And immediately, Jesus feels this disruption. He stops, and the crowd stops. Stillness and silence overwhelm the commotion, and poor Jairus. Poor Jairus, who's leading the way, trying to break through the crowd. He thinks, and maybe even he says, why is he stopping? My daughter is nearly dead. But Jesus is there. Who touched my clothes? Jesus questions. Who touched my clothes? The disciples scoff at him. Look at this crowd. Everyone in this crowd was touching you. Why do you ask such a dumb question, Jesus? But the woman, fearful and trembling, knows that she has been made well and falls before Jesus and tells him everything, the whole truth. Why be interrupted by this insignificant woman? I mean, she had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. What was another few hours? Why allow this interruption when there is a girl dying? Because she was only made physically well. But only after the woman tells him everything, then does Jesus bid her to go in peace. Eirene, the Greek translation of a Hebrew word which we all know much better. Shalom. Eirene, shalom, peace, wholeness. Jesus says, your faith has made you whole. Healing is not enough, says Jesus, for this hemorrhaging woman. For us too, Jesus and God, they desire wholeness. Not just being well. Not just being cured of a disease, but being whole. Shalom. But there's a problem. There was a problem with this interruption. Jesus allowed himself to be interrupted by an insignificant nobody of an unclean woman. And this young girl, the daughter of the synagogue's head honcho, dies because of it. And when Jesus arrives too late to cure her, there was another commotion. There was, of course, weeping and wailing, as we would expect. But Jesus doesn't seem to care. He says, haven't you heard about the hurricane I rebuked a few weeks back? I've got this. Little girl, get up, commands Jesus. And Jairus' daughter, just as the wind and the waves on the Sea of Galilee listened to Jesus, she too obeyed Jesus. She immediately got up, and Jesus says, give her some food. Why? Because ghosts don't eat. This was no longer just any run-of-the-mill mill healing. Jesus brought this girl back from the dead. The interruption of the hemorrhaging woman heightened the miracle, almost as if this interruption was not an interruption at all. I have to say, just like Henry Nouwen, we often complain that our work, our plans, what we want to do, what we dream, these things are being interrupted by this and that and the crappy unplanned things in our everyday lives. until one day we get enough years and enough wrinkles, and the older I get, the more I'm convinced that it is these wrinkles that produce the wisdom. Yeah? I don't know. Who's the wrinkliest? As we gain wisdom, we begin to wonder, are these disruptions, these interruptions, are these what we're supposed to be paying attention to? Are the interruptions in and of themselves the call? Maybe we're trying to keep on schedule so we can make it to Wall Drug. Ugh. But the kids are really hungry, so we head to what we think is going to be the world's most ordinary Subway to get a turkey sandwich. In the Subway, it is ordinary and basic, but just a quarter mile away is this 55 and a half foot tall interruption. Is it still behind me? Oh, it is. Keep it up there. The longer I am on this earth, the better I get, I think, at noticing when God is just outright mocking my plans. I'm not supposed to be here today. I am not supposed to be standing in front of you and preaching to you. I was never, not once in a million years, supposed to be a pastor. And I bet that the pastor that confirmed me all those years ago when I was in eighth grade could vouch for that. I'm serious. Yet somehow God interrupted my plans for my life and said, stop ignoring the Spirit. Be interrupted. That one's right. The interruptions are the call. I just told you what it's meant for my life, right? Just told you what it meant for me. And I ask, what might the interruptions in your life be calling you to? When might you be missing a 55 and a half foot tall giant because you're so focused on getting to the not worth it Wall Drug? Sorry, guys. But I do encourage you to think about that this week, because I think it's important for us to think about our own calls, right? But I want to expand for the rest of this sermon beyond our individual selves to our individual parishes. First Lutheran to St. Paul Lutheran. And even beyond that, I want to expand beyond this wonderful gathering that we have today, this Lutheran partnership. What might it look to have our plans, our journeys interrupted? But before we get there, I think we must spend a little bit of time talking about this journey, the journey that we all here have been on together. I know that we journey as individuals, as St. Paul Lutheran, as First Lutheran. We each have our own missions and our ministries. But recently, we both returned from a pretty treacherous journey, I would say. We were out there together in a fleet of boats. We were trying to cross the Sea of Galilee at night. We didn't know exactly the way we were going. And then all of a sudden, the wind and the waves, they start battering us. We start sinking and we're bailing out water. But the water just kept on coming in. And we cry out. And thankfully, Jesus stills the storm. I think we all remember the heartache of last December, and I think there's certainly some heartache still with us from that, right? Some heartache, some mistrust, some lack of understanding. I think it's within us all. But we did make it back to the shore. We're now back to the other side, the side of the Sea of Galilee that we're comfortable on. And we have dry land, we have stability, and we just probably want to rest here beside the sea. just as Jesus was at the beginning of today's gospel. If only for a bit. I mean, maybe a day or two at most, or a year, or five. Just sit here. But while we sit here and we try to repair our battered boats, here comes Jairus. Jairus. And he immediately interrupts us and starts tugging on our arm. You must come quickly. The church as you know it, the church that you grew up in, it is sick. I don't think I'm telling you anything you don't know. And this, I think, is the moment that we're in today. We have just been on a harrowing journey together. We're resting and we're repairing our battered boats. And here comes Jairus interrupting us, tugging on our arm and pleading, come quickly, it is urgent, there is no time to wait. And as much as I want to shoo him away, I don't think that I would be living faithfully into my call as your pastor if I didn't take him seriously. And I didn't urge you all to take him seriously too. The sea that we rest beside, the sea that we're comfortable beside, the church that brought us to this faith that we know and love, it is a beautiful place. I love this place. I love St. Paul in North Robinson. I love standing here in this place and being with you. But Jairus is right. The church of our youth is in a bad way, and we cannot sit idly by. We must move with urgency, both as individual parishes, yes, as First Lutheran, as St. Paul Lutheran, but also as this Lutheran partnership. We must follow Jairus. So I ask, what does this journey, what does this road trip look like? Both for First Lutheran and St. Paul Lutheran individually as parishes, and for this Lutheran partnership collectively. What does urgently following Jairus mean to us? And if we don't know, how might we figure that out? And urgently. But there's a problem with what I just said. I said, how might we figure that out? We as in us humans. Here's the thing with us humans. Sometimes we're stupid. Sometimes we make bad plans, like, you know, visiting Wald Run. So let's say we have come up with our plan, or we have a plan, or we will come up with a plan, and we hop on this charter bus together. Or perhaps maybe a Greyhound. Maybe we get tickets and hop on the Greyhound together. Great! Let's start the road trip. But here's what happens on road trips. Go to the other slide, Randy. Maybe? That's what happens on road trips. Inevitably, on this road trip, some of you, or maybe all of you, and probably me too, will start to get cranky. I'm hungry. I have to pee. So we'll open up Google Maps, we'll find a subway, we'll pull off the highway, and there it is, off the right side of the bus. That. We're going to see that. So what are we going to do? Well, first we're going to go to the subway because you're cranky and tired and hungry and you have to pee. But then we are going to go there because the Holy Spirit is telling us to go there. Are we willing to live into that interruption? Are we willing to live into that disruption? Are we willing to be detoured by a 55 and a half foot tall, 8,000 pound Jolly Green Giant? Do we live into that interruption right there? Are we curious enough to wonder, what if interruptions like these, distractions like these, are precisely what the Holy Spirit is calling us to in the first place? I know this wasn't our plan. First Lutheran and St. Paul, you don't want to share a pastor. You want your own individual pastors like you had 80 years ago, or how many ever years ago it was, five, whatever. That's our plan. That's our human plan. But are we willing to live into God's plan for us in the right here, in the right now? My brothers and sisters, my dear siblings of Christ, I think the Holy Spirit is Jairus today. The Holy Spirit is urging us out of our comfort zone and crying, come quickly, the church is sick. And you might be wondering, where is the good news in that? Are you supposed to give us good news to end these sermons? Yes, I do, and I will. You might be wondering, where's the good news? Well, I'll tell you, if I have experienced this 55 and a half foot tall, 8,000 pound giant interruption in my life. For a really long time, I ignored it. I tried to run away from it. But that giant's legs are a lot longer than mine, and it will catch up to me, and it did. It chased me and kept interrupting me, and it brought me here today, to this moment. Exactly where I know I am supposed to be with you, all of you. And I wouldn't have it any other way. I feel exactly how one is supposed to feel when they listen to the Spirit. And the same Spirit that interrupted me is interrupting us, is interrupting you, is interrupting First Lutheran and St. Paul and this Lutheran partnership. The same Spirit will interrupt our itineraries and our agendas until we stop and we stare down the 55 and a half foot tall behemoth and say, maybe this interruption has been the call all along. I tell you, the Holy Spirit will relentlessly interrupt and will not give up, and that is the good news. The Holy Spirit does not let us go. And when we submit, when we embrace the jolly green giant, I can guarantee that we and all of those that we encounter in our missions and ministries as a result of submitting to the Holy Spirit, we and they will experience an erene, a wholeness, a peace, a shalom that can only be found in and through Jesus Christ. So my dear friends in Christ today, I say to you, let us be interrupted together. And it is for this journey. It is for this road trip and for all of the interruptions of the Holy Spirit and for this gathering here today of our Lutheran partnership and all of the gatherings to come. And the shalom that flows from all of these things and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that I say, thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and died and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Before our prayers of intercession, I ask if there are any additional prayers today.
Alex.
Mike Snyder.
Rick Garber.
Rick
Garber.
That's what I thought you said. But then I was like, was it Garber? Rick Garverick. Okay. We will also be praying for all of those currently on both churches' prayer lists. Let us pray. One in communion of saints and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we join our voices in prayer.
God of abundance, we thank you for the gift of this gathering and for our Lutheran partnership. Continue to bless and strengthen this relationship that may we share resources and our services towards you. O God, and the community and the people we are called to serve. Expand our vision that may we see all Crawford County as our parish and the people of Galleon and North Robinson as those who have been called to proclaim the good news of your crucified and risen Son, Jesus Christ. Open our hearts to the wondrous breath of all who are called under your name and give us the courage, wisdom, and strength to grow your kingdom by calling on those who do not yet know you. In your mercy,
hear our prayer. God of justice, you reign in steadfast love. Bring peace between nations ravaged by war or strife, especially Ukraine and Russia. Bring peace to Gaza that aid may flow to all who suffer there. We pray that the leaders of Israel and Hamas come to the negotiating table seeking peace for the people they claim to represent so that no more blood be spilled and that life may prevail. Return hostages to their families and refugees to the places they once called home. In your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of community, you gather us to this table of your never-ending feast. Teach us that you are a God of abundance, and it is from that abundance that we were called to serve those in need. Bless the existing outreach ministries of First and St. Paul Lutheran Churches and inspire additional collaboration opportunities, that our works might feed and heal your people. In your mercy,
hear our prayer. God of compassion, your touch brings healing and your word revives us for life. Hear our prayers for the family. Hear our prayers for the family and friends of Bob, for Jim and Donna, Rachel, Joanne, Charles and Norma, for Barb, Aaron, Jane, Noel, Dwayne, Ken, Robert, Tony, Ed, for Pastor Tim, Peggy, Bobby, Nancy, Caleb, Jim, Karen, Bill, for Linda, Wilma, for Alex, for Mike, for Rick, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. For all who are in need, and for doctors, nurses, and healthcare workers who provide care. Turn mourning into dancing and weeping into joy. In your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of rest, we pray for our middle school students as they leave for retreat at Hopewood Pines today. Guard them as they travel at rest, at play, and strengthen, and through it all, strengthen their faith in your love for them, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. God of the ages, great is your faithfulness. We remember in thanksgiving the beloved saints who have preceded us in death, especially Bob Irvin, who sing without ceasing in your realm of glory, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Holy God, holy and merciful, holy and mighty, into your outstretched arms we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Let all God's people say, Amen. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of God's peace with one another, especially you with our gifts and our offerings.
Jesus, bread of life, you have set this table with your very self and call us to the feast of plenty. Gather what has been sown among us and strengthen us in this meal. Make us what we receive here, your body for the life of the world.
Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Thank you.
betrayed our Lord Jesus Christ, took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave for all for his disciples to eat, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, he gave thanks, he blessed it, and he poured it out for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. She had heard about Jesus, and she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, and immediately she felt in her body that she was healed. "Come, therefore, to this table where all are always welcome, and experience the healing presence of Jesus in the bread, and in the wine. Experience the shalom of Jesus Christ." For those of you who have not been here in a while or ever, come forward, get your little cup from right there, gather around here, give you bread just like normal, and we will fill your empty cup with wine, or if you desire grape juice, please let us know. Please remain seated. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us in this meal, now strengthen us in love, the world, which is your own. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
And at this time, I would like to, it's a long one today. It's what happens when all y'all show up. It's great. All right, Lydia and Andrew and Abby and Ben, come forward. These folks are going to a camp at Hopewood Outdoors this week. Okay, he's allowed to get blessed along with us just because it's a slightly different camp. Anyway, so we are going to a youth camp at Hopewood Outdoors here. We are leaving this afternoon, and it's going to be, hopefully a lot of fun. And I am going with them to chaperone this one, that one, and that one. They have that one. Yes. Anyway.
Dear friends in Christ, today we give thanks to God and seek God's blessing for these youth, Abby, Lydia, and Ben, and their adult leader, Pastor Sean, as we send them to Hopewood Pines for the Northwest Ohio Synod Middle School Retreat. Blessed are you, O Lord of our God, ruler of the universe. You have made the whole earth for your glory. All creation praises you. We lift our voice to join in the songs of heaven and earth in thanksgiving for the many blessings you have given us. Renew in these youth and the leader the commitment of faith to grow in and to take these few days to enjoy and experience Sabbath. Open their hearts and their minds, open as they are to the new things, and meet new people. Help them show your love through word and action, and see your love in the words and action of others. Amen.
Nope. Bless. I was telling her to wait. You can keep going.
Okay. Thanks, Lydia. Yes. It helped me gain my thoughts. Bless those who leave this place, our youth and their leader. Make safe their coming and going, their travel and their camping, their play and their rest. Bless their new experiences, new conversations, and new relationships. Bless those who transport them, shelter them, feed them, lead them, and support them near and far away. May this new renewal and restore them, and bring them into close relationship with you. To you, O God, be glory and the honor through your Son, Jesus Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, in our church, in the world, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Now you can go sit down, Lydia. Actually, everyone but Lydia can sit down. Thank you, Dennis. Okay, we're going to keep the announcements brief today. The most important one is please stay after the service for an ice cream social with a light lunch. Emphasis on the ice cream. So it will be down this hallway. There's an elevator. You can use the elevator and go down to the social hall. Also, if you want to take the stairs, it's down the hall, just before you get to the elevator, there are a set of stairs. So, I will be gone Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm taking the fourth off back in the office on Friday and writing a sermon and all such things. So, I am available all week. I'm not super duper far away. You have my cell phone number. Please call me should any emergencies arise. And if you have trouble getting a hold of me, contact your council presidents. So Tom Smith, Dennis Long, Hopefully I didn't run this by you. They're available this week. I have a number to give you. It's an emergency number at the camp itself that they can get a hold of me. But I'm told the cell reception is decent. Anyway, so let us see. So no Bible study this week. I think that's mostly it. For those of you who are not used to coming here each Sunday, during our sending hymn, we do a noisy offering for a local mission. This month it is for prayer shawl outreach. So First Lutheran goes out to Mill Creek two times a month and helps do sewing projects, knitting projects, knitting and crocheting. Don't know the difference. I'm sure they're way different, though. If there's anyone from St. Paul that sounds amazing and you want to join it, let us know. But anyway, if you would like to donate to that, the kids will be walking around and shoving a plate in your face. And with that, please stand in body or in spirit. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Sweet. I'd like to know who the slob was.
He told me before communion, during communion, he goes, I spilled the wine. And I go, it's fine.
I'm going to go ahead and take him since I do it next week.
Okay.
I can have a talk with Ben. Did you see who put out candles this morning? Come on. And I haven't noticed that before. Ben.
Oh. I talked to that boy.
But yeah, all that's fun.